This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Huge baseball weekend as well, obviously. And Grant McCauley joins us right now, as he always does on Thursdays, host of From the Diamond, our Braves insider. Nothing doing today, though, or yesterday.
G-Mac, I got a question for you, brother. Have you watched, because there's no Braves, so have you watched the Mr. McMahon yet?
I have started it, but I don't think I've gotten to what I would consider to be what I'm actually waiting to see, is how they finished this portrayal based on the last couple of years.
Right, because considering that he had to sell his stuff.
Well, he was, sounds like he was mad about it.
Yeah,
so.
He was kind of
big mad.
He's big mad about it.
All right, well, what are the, I mean, maybe the Braves players could watch that today with a little down. Like, what do they do today with no game on a day where there was supposed to be a game and it's not going to get rained out later? They know there's no game.
Yeah, I mean, all you can do really is just kind of rest. I don't know that they're really going to, you know, they can't do much on the field because of the weather. Right. So I don't know really if they need to maybe come in as they maybe see fit in terms of treatment or just getting a little bit of work in. But otherwise, there's not a lot you can do here except sit around and wait. And that is a really difficult thing considering what's going to be on the other side of these couple of rainouts. I mean, is the weekend going to cooperate? Will the weather be good enough for the Royals to get into town to get that series started on time? I think it's a decent question. Right. Then you got to get through that. And you know, that's a team that's also fighting for his playoff lives. And then on the other side, you got a potential doubleheader with the Mets on Monday. This could wreak havoc on everybody's pitching plans, obviously, and I wish I had the answers for how exactly you line it up in an ideal situation, but I think we all know this is far from an ideal situation.
Yeah, do you think that, obviously, if they can get this game in tomorrow, that they're going to probably go with the initial, the what was left over from the Mets as far as like Chris Sale and those guys like that?
I would think so, and that's just based on, I mean, if you hold them over and wait for that doubleheader, and then you don't play well against the Royals, and it creates a larger gap between yourself and the Mets, which is yourself in the playoffs. And obviously the Arizona Diamondbacks are a factor in this, but they won last night, so you couldn't expect them to lose every game for the rest of the year. Though if they do, that would obviously open up a totally different window and series of discussions for both the Braves and the Mets. But I think controlling what you can control is the object here for the Braves, and that means going into this weekend against a good Kansas City Royals club that has played poorly at times this month, but is still very much alive and fighting for a spot in the playoffs, go out there with the best that you have. And then keeping in mind, the strength of the Braves starting rotation is still there, even if you have to deploy Sale and Fried and Morton over the weekend. Spencer Schwellenbach would be ready for Monday in game one against the Mets. If everything goes according to plan as best it possibly can, maybe you only have to play game one. Right. And game two is unnecessary because you've won the season series against the Mets, and thus you wouldn't need to even worry about finishing in a tie.
Yeah, you've hinted at some of it there, and a lot of it is stuff that they can't control. Obviously, Braves just have to win all the games and all that. But the other stuff is interesting, too. So, I mean, take the time you need. I know there's a lot of permutations. The floor is yours. What are the things outside the Braves' control that could lead to Monday not mattering or mattering more? Like, what are other teams' scenarios that will play into what the Braves and Mets have to do on Monday?
Biggest one, I think, for the Braves and the Mets is the Arizona Diamondbacks against the San Diego Padres this weekend. That one is not in the path of any hurricanes, tropical storms, or really any rain whatsoever because they're all the way out there and away from all of this. Those three games should happen. If the Padres beat up on the Diamondbacks and sweep that series, that creates a very large door, perhaps big enough for the Braves and the Mets to fight their way through at the same time. But that, again, is just one of many scenarios. Now, if the Padres, who are also fighting, by the way, to try to win the National League West here in the final weekend of the season, they got one more with the Dodgers today. Then they've got the three head-to-head with the Diamondbacks, which means that the Dodgers kind of have to take it seriously in their final series as well, because, you know, they could get pushed into the wild card picture, which would change dramatically their plans. So there's a lot of different teams that are still in it, and I didn't think we'd be sitting here talking about what does this mean for the LA Dodgers, but here we are. Yeah. Because this weekend has not really settled anything, and this weather has just thrown a gigantic wrench into the plans for the Braves and for the Mets. And I've seen a lot of consternation online about, well, why is it this way? Why didn't the league do something? Why didn't the Braves do something? And I'm sure that the Mets feel some kind of way about it. I know that the Braves feel some kind of way about it, because this being a three-game series was a result of an April rainout, and the Mets did not find a day that they wanted to come back to Atlanta and play that. So instead of having to make up one game, you got to make up two. And they didn't play on Monday because the Mets declined to play on Monday, according to reports. So what are you going to do? The answer is play a doubleheader the day before the wild card.
get over it. Hey, Grant, I saw Lopez was he's pretty much cleared right now. Do you see him having any kind of impact on anything this weekend?
Yeah, I've kind of been looking at him as kind of the wild card in all of this, because, I mean, he came off the injured list against the Phillies and looked the best maybe he'd looked all season, and that was after the elbow inflammation. He threw on Tuesday, came out of that side session feeling good, so can you get him kind of ready to give you a solid four, maybe five innings if all goes well, and then just figure it out with your bullpen after that? If that doesn't go well, do you have an insurance policy like a Grant Holmes that could cover multiple innings for you? And then kind of deploy the bullpen, empty it out as best you can, because if it's win to get in or win or go home, I guess is probably the way most people would say that, you pretty much have to do everything that you possibly can to get there. And that's what the Braves have been fighting for. So I feel like if they do go Sale, Fried, Morton over the weekend, you got Schwellenbach, I would throw him in game one of that doubleheader. Then you come back and maybe it's Ronaldo Lopez and everybody else you can muster if you have to play both games of that doubleheader.
So when you play a doubleheader, you get an extra roster spot, right? That comes into play Monday, I assume.
Right, which could be a starting pitcher from the minor leagues if you felt like you needed that as an insurance policy, which would mean these guys have been sitting for a week.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they've been throwing. I mean, they don't just all pack up and fly to their home wherever in the U.S. and wait to be called back. I mean, there's procedures and policies and all of this to have some of these guys ready. But is that Ian Anderson, who hasn't pitched in a big league game since 2022?
Right.
I tend to believe maybe not. Is that A.J. Smith-Shawver? Is that Bryce Elder? Is there somebody else I'm not thinking of that they just want to add as a relief option? It's really kind of – it's up to them. But they do get an extra roster spot, and I would imagine that will be used on a pitcher who would be, for all intents and purposes, an insurance policy of some sort. But how nice of an insurance policy, that would remain to be seen with how he's used.
Does that count as an option? Like, because with Ian Anderson, some of the conversation is about they don't want to use that this year, so they have it for next year. Like, is there a loophole there, or does that count?
You know, that's a great question. But since you have to be, I mean, he's on the 40-man.
Right.
To bring him up, I part of me says no, it might not.
Hey.
But then the other part of me says he hasn't pitched a major league game all season.
right.
Don't you have to initially make a call to bring him up? But it's the answer is we're in a weekend where a lot of people are going to be looking at things and saying, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
I'm just saying.
Or they say in wrestling, we'll call it in the ring.
I'm just saying, how crazy would it be if it comes down to a winner-take-all game two of a doubleheader and Ian Anderson, who hasn't pitched in a couple years, makes a start. That would be the story of the year.
It'd be incredible.
That would be awesome.
Eight strong. Hey, Grant, tell us a little bit about this Kansas City Royal team, because we know that obviously they're fighting for their playoff lives and everything like that. They have a superstar player in Witt Jr., but what is it about this team? I mean, because I don't know a lot about them outside of him.
I think that the Royals really were a club that went out last winter and surprised a few people by spending some money on starting pitchers, but I kind of viewed them the same way I looked at the Mets, to be honest, where they need some pitchers to help fortify a rotation, build everything out, and if they don't play particularly well and they're not in the hunt, well, you got some really, really nice trade chips that you can cash in at the end of July. But then they played well enough to where they held on to them. Bobby Witt Jr. is having an MVP-caliber season leading that club. They did lose Vinny Pasquantino, their first baseman, so he's not going to be available for him. He was closing in on a 100 RBI season, and we'll see if they've got enough offense, you know, put together around Bobby Witt, including Salvador Perez, who's, you know, one of the better hitting catchers in Major League Baseball, to make this run. But overall, it's just kind of a club that I feel like at this point, you know, you've kind of been playing with house money for a while. They're ahead of schedule in terms of when anybody thought they'd be in the playoff race. And they're fighting amongst their American League Central brethren, the Detroit Tigers, who jumped into this picture, the Minnesota Twins, who've been hanging around in it. Somebody's going to be disappointed, but that Central division, outside of the Guardians kind of running off and hiding in the second half, that's been a pretty interesting race.
Grant McCauley joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking baseball, talking Braves. Braves with a couple days off unexpectedly with the weather. Back at it hopefully tomorrow against the Royals for three, and then a doubleheader on Monday against the Mets. Say they take care of business, and next Wednesday when we're talking, they're in the wild card, and we're still talking about Braves baseball in 2024. With Michael Harris hitting the way that he's hitting, and Olsen hitting the way that he's been hitting for a couple of months now, and this starting rotation, how hard is it to talk yourself into these guys maybe being able to act?
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Actually make a run.
Not as hard as it was about 3 or 4 weeks ago when the leadoff spot was really not well defined, when maybe Jorge Soler was still kind of trying to figure his stuff out as well, when you didn't have Ozzie Albies back, and obviously Marcelo Zuna had gone a little bit quiet by his standards, but I mean, still batting well over 300 this year, so it's not like he disappeared, but the home runs, the runs batted in, all that stuff just wasn't there. And we saw the Braves doing things like losing 1-0 games to the Cincinnati Reds, and you know, not being able to handle the Washington Nationals. If you'd asked me then, I would have said, even with the starting pitching, I just don't see the offense to support it. And my case for that is, look at the 140-something games that they had played at that point. But now it's seeming to be coming together at the right time, in particular with guys like Michael Harris being red hot. Matt Olson has had a very good last couple of months and pushing himself into numbers that I wasn't sure he was going to get to this year on the whole. So with that, with Soler, with Albies back, Ramon Laureano's been swinging a pretty good bat. If you can get anything out of the bottom of the order, you like your rotation. I still think the bullpen, even without A.J. Minter, is pretty solid. So it's not as hard as you might think. It's just how steep is the hill they're going to have to climb, or the mountain they're going to have to climb, to get through this weekend, to get through Monday, to get through a wild card series, just to find themselves back in the NLDS, where in previous years they had wrapped everything up and sat around and waited for a week to get back to playing baseball.
Hey, Grant, real quick, what's your thought? I know we all think of the same thing, but I want to get your thoughts on what happened up there in Pittsburgh as they're desperate for cash. Grant, what did you think about that situation when it happened?
I don't know why they're that desperate for cash. They receive revenue sharing dollars every single year, so they're spending other people's money. Exactly. And it's just, it's a bad look. It's unprofessional. And I think that will also reflect on players who, if they ever were to think about possibly, perhaps, spending money on getting people to come in and say, this is an environment I want to play, stuff like that doesn't help.
Yeah, I agree. For people that don't know, Rowdy Tellez was cut four at-bats short of a $200,000 bonus. Because they didn't want to pay him $200,000, which is pretty cheap. You're right. Yeah. They do revenue share. They do get money from all the other markets. Maybe you should sell the team if that's too much for you. Grant, we appreciate the time. Thank
appreciate
you.
The G, Mike.
You got it. I don't want to take up too much more time, but if you haven't seen Bob Nutting taking his picture with a fan wearing a T-shirt that said "Sell the Team," please Google that, because you will laugh.
I will. That sounds awesome. Thank you, Grant. Grant McCauley there. Yep.